You can't handle the truth.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Get away from her, you bitch!
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
To infinity and beyond!
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Samuel Emanuel Movie Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Manny Manuel.
And I'm Kyle Robertson.
This is episode number 3 of Real Talk, our experiment in a new type of format slash episode. Thank you, Kyle, for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm going to cough. Hold on.
Horrible. Absolutely brutal.
I know. Perfect timing. We had a little bit. We actually had like all this other planned because Sam told us in advance, or told me in advance, that he wasn't going to be able to come this week, most likely. He has I think he's performing right now, actually, as we record. I think he has a concert tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so originally it was supposed to be Jordan this week. And then Jordan messaged me. She's like, I don't think next week's going to work for me. And I was like, that's okay. I think I have somebody that could step in. And I set up the bat signal. I said, hey, Kyle, you want to jump on with me? And you're like, fuck yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I will never say no.
I fucking love it.
If I'm presented an opportunity to talk about anything, really anything, but film especially, I'm there.
Sweet. So yeah, I really appreciate you stepping in. I love having you on. It's going to be a good time. Let's dive into this new thing we call Real Talk. So generally, this is where I throw in the question from Spotify. But now, because of the way we've changed things, the Spotify question of the week actually didn't come out until today, because it gets released on Thursdays when we record this episode. So there obviously will be no responses on it, because people probably haven't even had a chance to listen to the episode. So I've decided to come up with a new weekly question. And this is something that you and I were discussing earlier today with Keenan.
Of course.
And so the weekly question, to kind of go with the theme of what our review will be later this week, is what is your favorite and or best disaster movie?
Yeah, so I mean, with the end of our work day, I think disaster is really the theme of the day.
Wow. Yes. Wow, yes.
I think I really went back and forth between a couple things. There's a lot of disaster movies that I like.
Okay.
And I think they're good.
All right.
But they're not something I would ever contend for a best of list.
Okay.
Like, so many disaster movies for
like
me.
Like, not even a best of disaster list?
Exactly. Okay. They just live in such a, like, zone of mediocrity that it makes it really hard for me to pick one out of them, even okay. though I think, like, oh, that's really good. And I think there's a lot of really good disaster movies. But I think I finally settled. Now, my Homer pick is Dante's Peak.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is about this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It just, it gets me going.
Okay.
However, I do put Twister above it.
Nice.
So I think Twister is my final pick.
Okay.
Even though my heart wanted Dante's Peak, I find that really common with Dante's Peak. I really want to like it more than I end up liking it.
Okay.
But Twister, I think, is really, really solid. It lives in the same vein for me of just like, I have a really hard time nitpicking it. I think it's just pretty solid movie.
All right.
And like, I like disaster movies that are rooted in some kind of like reality of like, this could happen actually.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So totally that's my pick is Twister.
I love it. Okay. So maybe Twister as the best and Dante's Peak is your favorite?
Yeah. I think I don't even know why, because I think I only saw it once when I was like younger, but something about Dante's Peak just like activates nostalgia or like some kind of like childhood memory. I know my mom really, really loves that movie.
Dante's Peak?
Yeah.
Did she watch it with you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was late. It was late.
Very late. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like those picks. And trust me, like, as someone that is literally twice your age, as you get older, those movies that carry nostalgia with you will start to mean even more for you. Yeah. And when you get older and you introduce them to your younger friends and they don't like them, it will break your heart. I'm looking at you, Sam.
There was one movie that I haven't seen, but I really want to see mm-hmm. because I think technically it's kind of a disaster movie and yep. it might top the list, and that's Force Majeure. Have you seen or heard?
Didn't they just remake that?
I have Will no Ferrell? Idea. Did with Will Ferrell? That sounds horrible.
Isn't it about an avalanche?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like, Will Ferrell?
I'm almost positive.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I heard it was really bad.
Okay, so the concept that I have heard is really good, and I don't see Will Ferrell fitting into it at all.
Yeah, I think they changed the tone.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I think that the just the idea of it, I don't know if I should talk about that at all or if it should just be left, but I think it's a really cool idea, and it's kind of disaster related.
Okay, I'm just going to see if I can quickly find this. It's not looking good. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's not Will Ferrell. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. So let's go here. Remake. Oops.
Ooh.
Remake of Force Majeure. There it is right there. So it's called Downhill.
Oh.
In 2020. And Will Ferrell is in it. Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Will Ferrell, Miranda Otto. Yeah. Downhill is a 2020 American black comedy drama directed by Nate Fax and Jim Rash, who also co-wrote the script with Jesse Arson. The film is a remake of Force Majeure by Swedish director Ruben Östlund, who I probably mispronounced.
Hmm. See, that just doesn't sound right.
Okay.
Because Force Majeure is really a relationship drama.
Okay.
Do you know what the OG is kind of about?
Well, here's what this movie's about.
Okay.
Okay. After believing they are about to be killed by an avalanche during a family ski vacation in Ischgl, Austria, probably mispronounced as well, a married couple is thrown into disarray as they are forced to reevaluate their lives and how they feel about each other.
That's the idea. Okay. Yeah. Essentially, I guess mild spoiler warning for Force Majeure, though I haven't seen it. My understanding is this is the basic premise from the beginning, but basically there is an avalanche coming towards a family mm-hmm. at a ski resort, and the dad doesn't behave in a good way. So he just kind of tells them it's fine as the avalanche is in the distance. And then when it gets close, he runs and abandons them. And then they have to live with that after because the avalanche breaks and doesn't hurt anybody. So then they all have to be like, you kind of just abandoned us. And that's the rest of the movie. That's what it's actually about.
Yeah. See, I think, like, if you think about that in a funny way. I can 100% see Will Ferrell doing that.
Yep. Yeah. I guess.
So I have no idea. Yeah. I agree. Like, the one you're describing sounds like a very riveting drama about a now dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Whereas I know that Will Ferrell would in my mind, he's overplaying the running away from the danger.
Yeah.
And there's the look of shock on the wife's face. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I can see that as a Will Ferrell comedy.
That's a double feature right there.
No, thank you. That's a no thank you. So, double feature, we'll watch Force Majeure first.
Oh, yeah.
And then I will leave.
Okay.
And people can watch Downhill.
Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. That Force Majeure, I think I'll add that to my watch list. I think I'll give that. That does sound pretty good. Does that qualify as a disaster film?
See, I don't know. That's why I left it. I also obviously haven't seen it. But I feel like if you're going to qualify it and I were to watch it, it has a strong chance.
Okay.
But...
Yeah. It's kind of the same discussion we had about Armageddon.
Yeah. Like, is it?
Is it a disaster film?
Kind of. But then can you kind of say, like, and this is a little less realistic, but a lot of people make the argument that zombie movies and outbreak movies are disaster movies.
I have an outbreak movie on my list.
Yeah. So to me, it really depends, like, is it zombie or is it outbreak? You know, like, it kind of, like, zombies get a little bit more into something that's not a disaster movie.
I agree with you. I would not have any zombies in my disaster movie list.
But something that's a little more like rooted in some kind of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. Awesome. All right. So originally the question was like to try and get down to one or two. I had a starting list of 9 and I got it down to 5.
I did witness the 4 leaving. It was it looked tough.
It was harrowing. I won't lie. Harrowing. So here are mine in no particular order. So let's put this one out first, since it's about what we just talked about. It is a movie about a pandemic.
Okay.
And it's called Outbreak.
Okay.
It is – have you seen the movie Contagion?
I haven't. I've heard that one's really good.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And this was made well before the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And it is creepy. Because you're like, oh, they weren't lying. Outbreak is the same type of idea, except not realistic at all.
Gotcha.
This is, you don't have to worry. This movie's all about fun. But let me tell you the cast in this movie. Are you ready?
I'm here.
So if I told you this movie was just stupid fun and not a serious drama, you would think this was a serious drama when I'm about to tell you the cast. Here's the cast of Outbreak.
Okay, hit me.
Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
Academy Award winner, Morgan Freeman. Academy, 2-time Academy Award winner, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, no way.
Not sure if he's ever been nominated, but Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And Rene Russo. And Academy Award winner, Cuba Gooding Jr. That is this cast. Yes. Yeah.
You'd be like, man,
this is unreal.
Yeah.
This cast, and it is all about a outbreak in a very small, I'm going to say Midwestern American town.
Okay.
And what the government and the military and the CDC would do about it in a very non-realistic way.
Okay.
Do they
perform for the movie they're in, or are they giving like Academy stuff here?
No, they know the movie they're in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But with all of them, obviously, it's just a little elevated.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's a very guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure? The movie's perfectly enjoyable.
Okay.
One of the reasons that this movie really stands out for me is there's a character actor who has passed away a long time ago, but he was an integral part of my youth, of when I was your age. I think he passed away probably maybe mid to late 2000s. I'm just going to look up. His name is J.T. Walsh.
Okay.
An absolutely spectacular character actor. Every time he's in a movie, it just makes the movie even better.
Nice.
And he is in this movie for one scene, and it is the best scene in the movie.
Oh, and good for
this guy in one scene, he's like, I'm going to try and win an Academy Award. He is un-fucking believable in it.
Wow.
Let's see. When did he pass away? 98. So he didn't even make it in the 2000s. Yeah, he is one of my favorite character actors.
Recognizable. I caught the picture there.
Yeah. I just want to check when he passed away. I absolutely love him.
Yeah.
And he a complete character actor. Like, he could be one guy in one film and somebody completely different in another. And it's still like a really good performance.
Nice.
Yeah. So the one scene performance for J.T. Walsh in Outbreak, you're just like, chef's kiss. All right. Outbreak, another one. What am I going to go with next? Let's keep going. Oh, you know what? Let's go with by the same director of Outbreak.
Okay.
Who actually passed away last year. So okay. He passed away in 2022. Wolfgang Peterson. He did a movie called Perfect Storm.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Yeah.
Have a great time with that movie. Another really great cast. Wolfgang knows how to reel them in. George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, William Fichtner, John C. Reilly, and the guy in Winter's Bone who's also he's Oscar nominated, and he is also in Miami Vice, and I can't get his name, but whatever. I'm sorry.
It's a bad look for you.
I'm fucked up. Perfect Storm is a movie I thoroughly enjoy. I always have a good time watching it. And I definitely cry a lot. I would say I probably cry at least 90% of the time I watch that movie. Yeah, really enjoy that movie.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good one. I do remember briefly thinking about it, but I don't have it in kind of the same brain space, I think, as things like Twister and Dante's Peak. For some reason, that era of like kind of older, in my mind at least, older disaster movies that are like contained location, like one thing kind of, you know, there's one big bad and it's coming to get you and there's no dramatics to it. It's just like, it's like, here you go, disaster, survive, good luck.
My next pick could be argued not a disaster film. Okay. It's definitely a science fiction film, but it is kind of about a disaster. You know what? Probably ineligible, so let's get it out of the way. It's a movie called Sunshine by Oscar-winning director Danny Boyle.
I haven't heard of it.
Okay, it is – I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It is about a team of astronauts who are sent to restart the sun. Our sun is dying, and they are carrying this massive – it's obviously set in the future. I honestly can't remember how far it is. It wouldn't be that far.
Okay.
Because nothing other than the ship itself is kind of outside of realism. So it's not like they have like photon torpedoes or anything like that. It is literally, they're taking a shit ton of nuclear bombs and throwing it into the sun in the hopes to restart it.
I love that era of movie where just like, you bring a nuclear bomb to solve the problem.
Trust me, this is not what you're thinking of. This isn't one of those kind of movies.
Yeah.
While that's the premise, this movie is incredibly psychological. This nice. Movie, another... Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to get the cast. No. I know it's Cillian Murphy is the lead.
Oh, wow.
Chris Evans.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure this is pre-Captain America.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh.
Damn.
And I can't remember his name. He has a very small role in Avengers Endgame. It's kind of unimportant, but he has a really great role in a movie called Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
It is not Ken Watanabe, for those yelling at me. Oh, wait. Is Ken Watanabe in this? No, he's not. I'm like, he's not, because the captain... it also has... Rose Byrne. I forgot she was in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's quite the cast.
Cliff Curtis and Hiroki Sanada is the person that I'm... and Benedict Wong's in it as well.
Nice.
And Mark Strong. It's a really great, great movie. It is definitely leans more towards science fiction, but with the sun dying, I guess it can count as a disaster. The only reason why it probably doesn't count as a disaster film is that there is no disaster. The Earth is kind of under almost like another ice age because our sun is dying, but we only kind of see some of it. So I can understand why somebody would bristle at the idea of this being a disaster film. So I have no problem. The second to last one I want to talk about is 100% a guilty pleasure. This movie has a horrible reputation. And the funny thing is, what bothers me is a lot of people have just heard about its reputation but haven't seen the movie. Give this movie a chance, because it is not as bad as what you think it is. And that movie is Waterworld.
Oh, man. Okay. I
love Waterworld. Now, I am unabashedly a Kevin Costner fan, which definitely helps.
Yeah.
But I think this movie is fun, inventive. And everyone talks about how they're like, oh, it's like... bombed and it crashed and it made no money. No, actually, it made a lot of money. The problem is that they decided to film on water, and the largest set they had sank to the bottom of the ocean, so they had to rebuild it. So that definitely increased the cost.
Hey, that'll happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you can, if you ever watch Waterworld, which if you're ever looking for something fun and light and enjoyable, this is a great way to go. It is a simple premise. The ice caps have melted and everything is underwater. There is no land. And everybody lives on boats or floating cities. And that's pretty much it. There's another plot that kind of drives the thing forward, but that kind of spoils some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's Kevin Costner, so I have a great fucking time. Dennis Hopper plays the villain, and he is just going over the top. I have a really great time with Waterworld. I can watch Waterworld often. Personally, I think the start of the movie and the premise of the movie and the world building is really cool, and then it kind of starts to taper off in the middle. It's definitely longer than it needs to be. You could easily cut a lot out of this film. I think I did. I think the copy I have of Waterworld has both the extended and the theatrical version. And I think, obviously, the theatrical is longer. And I think I remember I liked it more, but I always like longer movies. Build up the world even more.
Yeah. So the extent of my knowledge of this is the just uneducated, like, bashing of the name. And I will reserve judgment because I haven't seen it.
Yep.
However, I do remember saying that my dad really dislikes this movie to you because it's so long, and you immediately responded, "It's not that long. It's not that long."
I definitely thought that it wasn't that long.
It's just over 3 hours, no?
No, it's not that long.
Okay.
I think it's just under.
Just under.
But I think it's because I enjoy the movie so much that mm-hmm. it doesn't feel long to me. I know that The Postman, which I'll be reviewing for 97, is 3 hours long. Yeah, this is 2:15. That's not long.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need for someone to call a movie long, it's got to be over 2.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're put like it's like 2:25 and someone's like, "That's a long movie," I'm like, "Eh, is it really?" That's.
Yeah, I mean, a bad movie that's 2:15 will feel like 3 for sure.
Totally, and I can tell you right now, Waterworld, probably not that good of a movie, but.
Puts it on the list. Probably not that good of a movie.
Well, this is both favorites and best.
I support that.
So it is 100% a Homer pick.
So here's my other thing.
Yeah.
This sounds, and you can correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
like a post-disaster movie, and there is no actual disaster in
that
it.
That is correct.
So is Mad Max also a disaster movie?
That would be about the same idea. Yeah. So no. But the thing is, in Waterworld, they show the water melting. The ice caps melting. Now,
okay,
it's done in the matter of about 10 seconds.
I accept that.
So we see the disaster.
Yeah.
We don't see it. We literally see, you know, the Universal logo?
Yeah.
Okay? Right? So it's the globe, and it's turning, and Universal comes.
That's pretty cool.
So the Universal comes around. So the Universal disappears, and you're looking at the Earth, and the ice caps, and you just watch it melt, and you watch the land slowly all turn blue.
Oh, I love when people do that. I love when people mess with the studio logos. Yes, for sure.
That's cool. How the movie starts.
Nice. Okay.
Right. Look at that. I won you over in the first 5 minutes.
I'm gonna watch it.
I can't wait.
Just watch the first 10 seconds. You see the Universal logo, you're done.
We have reviewed it for the podcast.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I know it's on your watch list.
Yeah, that puts it immediately on the watch list. You have I've said this before, you have a pretty strong sense of control in my watch list now.
Wicked. Okay, and so I do have one movie left on my list, but I have two. So I would have to say, and when it comes to disaster films, I have Twister at the top of the list. I think it is an extremely fun and entertaining movie littered with really great actors who know the exact movie that they're in.
Yeah.
And they nail it. So Twister is, in my opinion, probably the best disaster movie. Like I mentioned earlier today, off mic, if it counts, then Titanic is the best disaster movie.
And I get it. I just feel like... there is a distinction between man-made and natural disaster.
Yep, and I can get it. So that's what, that was my caveat. So those are my two.
Yeah.
If Titanic is allowed to be included, then I think it's undeniably the best disaster movie. Now, people have problems with Titanic. Go whatever you can say whatever you want. But you cannot deny the absolute incredible filmmaking technique it made to make that movie. That is undeniable. For absolutely. Anyone to say that, like, that movie looks like shit, I'm like, you literally don't know what you're talking about. And this discussion is over. Just like, unfortunately, like, I don't think you've watched it yet, but I think you said your mom likes it. The English Patient.
Yeah, she vaguely said that she liked it. Okay. And that was all I got.
When you watch The English Patient, you watch it, you're like, this is a technical marvel. Like, score, soundtrack, editing, cinematography, just exquisite. And the whole time you're trying not to fall asleep. And it won Best Picture.
Of course.
And then when you watch it, you'll be like, okay, this was, and that's not even that long ago, but like, old white men, this is their movie. And this is why it beat Fargo.
Okay.
For Best Picture.
Gotcha.
You watch it, you'll be like, yeah, my grandpa would like that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. English Patient, it's a good movie. It's undeniably well made. Like, undeniably.
Yeah.
But it's not very exciting.
Could have been much better with some kind of tidal wave, you know, exactly. A volcano popping up, a little hurricane maybe.
Yeah. No hurricane movies in our picks. Is there any good hurricane movies?
Oh my God. You know what there is? There's the Boxing Day. That was an earthquake. The tidal wave. The one with Ewan McGregor. I totally forgot that one. I really like that movie, actually.
Oh, that's a tsunami.
Yeah, tsunami that comes from the earthquake in Indonesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Somewhere over there.
There is a hurricane movie, though, because I can see it. I can see the hurricane in my brain.
All right. Well, those are our disaster movie picks.
Nice.
All right.
I think I might bump up that Ewan McGregor movie a little bit.
Impossible?
Retroactively.
The Impossible?
Is it? I don't know.
I'm looking up. All right. Let's get into what we've been watching.
Yeah.
Kyle, you went on a bit of a tear recently.
I've been going, man.
Yeah.
I've been going.
Tell us what you've been watching.
So I did the entire Hunger Games series aside from the newest one.
All of you fuckers did.
I know that you don't approve of this.
No, I shouldn't say it. It's not that I don't approve. It's just that I watched the first one and I was like, oh, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't entice me to watch the others.
Yeah. So I know we talked about this and you didn't really like the second one that much.
Nope. It left no mark on me.
Gotcha.
Everyone says it's the best one. I'm 90% sure I've seen it. And if it's the best one and I can't remember it, I can definitely remember the first one. But if I can't remember the second one, and that's supposed to be the best one to get me to watch the other ones,
yeah,
we're in bad shape.
Yeah. So I definitely, if you didn't like that, don't even bother with Mockingjay at all.
Okay.
Because it definitely, the first half is better than the second half to me. Okay. And I've always felt that way. The first, I feel like Hunger Games to me is politics and murder. And two things that I love in film.
Oh. I was like, I'm here alone with him. Help me, please.
But the first one is very like, you kind of just take in the politics, but you experience the murder. And then the second one is like a healthy balance with a lot more politics,
mm-hmm.
but you still get the murder. And then the third one is like politics, but it's not really fun.
Okay.
And then the fourth one is like they tried to bring back the murder part, but it wasn't as good as...
It wasn't as murdery as you wanted it to be?
It just wasn't... Like all of the deaths had some impact.
Okay.
But like in the first two, when somebody died, you like felt it.
Yep.
And there are some deaths in the like last one that you really feel, but especially like this is one of the few times I'll be like, well, in the book it was like this. It was like like I really hate doing that, but you know, in the book the deaths meant a lot more in Mockingjay. And in the movies there's a lot of the like, especially in the third one, the politicking that's going on, it just kind of slows everything down.
Okay.
And then it also is prepping you for like the fourth one. And I know I kind of mentioned this to you and then you swiftly corrected me, but I was trying to say that if this got made now, Mockingjay would be one big 3-hour epic, 3.5-hour epic. And then you're like, no, it would be a TV show. Damn. And that's absolutely correct and unfortunate.
Yes.
But yeah, it felt like they were stretching for two movies because at the time, audiences just weren't supporting those kind of epics as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would have been better as one. It's just kind of a shame. But I still like the lowest one I rated was 3.5. And that was the third one.
Okay.
Second one's 5 out of 5 for me. I
really
adored that movie. It was originally a 4, and then I watched it and I was like, shit, like I fucking enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I love that feeling.
Yeah. But the I will say I've like
recently actually. What did I have that with? I can't remember.
Uh oh.
I upgraded something from a 4 to a 5.
Nice. Well,
not for the podcast. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I've always been like a little, like in my memory, Jennifer Lawrence's performance was something that like, I think at the time when I was younger and I was like fresh off of reading the books, I was like, oh, there's just something missing.
Okay.
But I didn't really feel that this time around. I'm very far removed from having read the books now and I don't plan on rereading them. I've got enough stuff I haven't read sitting on my bookshelf. But yeah, I think like she's obviously extremely good, and this was like, to me, this was what put her on the map. I'm aware that she did other stuff before that was.
I'll push back a little.
Yeah,
I think you're half right.
Okay.
I think it was the combination of this and the X-Men films that put her on the map.
There you go. I knew there was something else big in that time frame that was. Yeah.
She was in two franchises at the same time.
Yeah.
And both of them were largely successful. I will not offer my opinion on the X-Men films. They're already widely known.
Nice. But yeah, that was The Hunger Games. I really enjoyed it. It was also nice because it was something my mom really wanted to watch. Just like the advertising for the new one somehow got to her, and she was like, I want to watch Hunger Games. And it was really nice to just like watch some stuff with everyone being pretty into it.
Yep.
My dad didn't watch the second one because... and I quote, I've already seen it and it was okay. And that was after watching the first one where his opinion was like, I've already seen it and it was okay. and then we made him watch the last two and he was like, yeah, these are all good movies. Like he was actually like into all of them. I think maybe he likes the first one more upon seeing it twice.
Okay.
But yeah, I was intrigued. He likes the idea of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two things. If you like murder and politics, have you watched JFK yet?
I haven't seen JFK yet.
Okay.
No, that's high on the list.
Yes. Yeah. If you like murder and politics, that should be one of your go-tos.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, what are you going to give The Hunger Games as a series?
As a series?
Yeah.
Collectively, I think it's a 4. All right. There's the first and last, I give a 4. And then, I mean, because we're here, I might as well give the third one a 3 and then the second one a 5.
Okay.
Pretty steady 4 throughout. Yeah,
basically a 4 across the board then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun with it, though. It was it was compact. I think I watched them all in, across
4
days.
Yeah, you watched them pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on.
Moving on.
So I had a bit of a horror day last Saturday.
Jeez Louise.
And, you know, I'll skip a couple of them because I watched 6.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with... Oh, I also want to talk about Elvis, though, actually, first.
Okay.
I did watch Elvis,
all right,
and I forgot to send it to the group chat, so I'm sorry to everybody.
Apology not accepted.
I know. I really enjoyed it. I went into it expecting like to not like it because everyone I know was just talking shit about it the whole time, and I was just like, you know what, Baz Luhrmann, take me away,
you know, transform me.
I love it.
You like, love Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah, genuinely. Okay. I've only seen 2 of his movies to my knowledge.
Okay, hold on.
Love them both.
Can I guess? I'll see if I can guess.
Yeah, you can. You're not. I don't think you're gonna get it.
Okay, well then, if it's not one of those ones, I'm gonna go Strictly Ballroom.
No.
Okay. What's the other one?
Well, it's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, fuck, that was gonna be my first guess. Who said that?
Threw you off. See, I didn't realize how popular Romeo and Juliet was until like pretty recently. but I really, really liked it.
If I'm not mistaken, do you remember what year that was? It's got to be pre-96, because it's before Leo's in Titanic.
Yeah. I'm still getting used to the fact that it's a popular movie, because for so long, I would talk about it to friends, and they had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. Like, I would bring up the Romeo and Juliet movie, and they'd all talk about, like, the one that we saw in, like, English class.
Not that early.
It's a pretty young Leo, but it's not, like, that young.
That early. Okay, never mind. 95? Can't be that late, can it? I swear T-Bone had it in his top 10. Oh, there it is. It's 96.
Okay.
Yeah, he has it at number 8 in 96. Yeah, T-Bone likes that movie.
Nice. Yeah, I really, really, really liked it. And then I think it's just... I really appreciate surreal film, and Baz Luhrmann delivers that. I really want to watch Moulin Rouge. I haven't seen it yet.
Not a fan.
But yeah, fair enough. I have heard that opinion from you, actually, yeah. now that we're talking about it. But I don't like to give opinion on a director before I've seen three.
That's fair.
But Baz Luhrmann, in the same... Greta Gerwig, when I had seen two of her movies.
Okay.
I hold them in the same place of, like, I really love this director.
Okay.
But let's see if that love has longevity. So, yeah, watched Elvis. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I don't know.
So, have you seen all three Greta films then?
What's the... I always screw this up.
Yeah.
There's Barbie.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Lady Bird, yeah. Which I loved a little less.
Uh-huh.
And then the third Little Women. And that's the one with... Emma Watson.
Yes.
Okay, then I've seen them all.
Okay.
I it's definitely Barbie first, Lady Bird, and then Little Women.
Okay.
But they're all good. All right. And Greta Gerwig is one of my G's.
She's on my list.
Yeah, love her. She's just like killing it right now.
I'll put her top 20 directors
for me now. I
can't put her top 10, not after three films.
Oh man.
Says yeah, the same that's guy tough. That put Villeneuve at top 5 after 3 films, but whatever.
Yeah, you know. To each his own.
Yeah.
She might break my top 10. I was obsessed with Barbie. Obsessed with Barbie. Because
it's fucking brilliant.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Back to Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So Elvis, I don't know, man. Flashing lights. Good music, you got me. Okay. And that's Baz Luhrmann's whole shtick, to my knowledge. And
it's not far off, actually.
Yeah. I thought that Austin Butler's performance as Elvis was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, like, by far the best part. And I went into it expecting to dislike Tom Hanks and his character and the way that the story's told, because that's what I was told I would be unhappy with, and I just wasn't.
Interesting.
The whole time I was like, this isn't real life. This is a surreal Baz Luhrmann retelling of the story of Elvis, and he's doing it this way. And I just fully bought into that. And I was like, yeah, this guy sucks, can't trust a word he says, and the whole thing is told from his perspective. But, you know, whatever. So I gave that a 4 out of 5.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I got a 3 for me.
Yeah, I just fully bought into the way...
Oh, I'm in the minority amongst us all. Oh, wait, you just hated it more than I did.
Yeah, I fully bought into the way that it was being told, and all of that being, like, on the back of, like, honestly, a behemoth performance as Elvis from Austin Butler. I was just like, yeah, sure. I have heard that he is potentially being outplayed by Jacob Elordi right now as Elvis, but, you know... I haven't seen Priscilla yet, so I can't speak to that. But that would be really unfortunate because he really hard committed to the role. And, you know, there's all the interviews where he's still got the voice for so long and everything. But yeah, that was a really pleasant watch.
Okay, I just want to... We haven't really discussed this very much, and I was just kind of looking right now. I think last year, 2022, was one of the best years in film in a long time. Outside of 2019, which was another great year.
Yeah.
But 2022 was so good. Elvis, besides me and Wes giving it under fours, everyone gave it fours and there's a couple four and a halves, and yet it only made one person's top 10 list and it was number 10. That's wow. how good last year was.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that because it might make my top 10. I haven't really thought a whole ton about the 2022 top 10, but yeah, it was a great year.
I'm going to guess that Elvis sat about in the 50s for me.
Wow. Let's find out. Wow. So what didn't you like about it?
Number one is Tom Hanks.
Really?
He was fucking horrible.
Wow.
Horrible. Probably his second worst performance I've ever seen. He will never okay. ever approach his worst again.
Okay.
I don't think he'll ever. So I watched 78 films in 2022.
What's his worst?
Lady Killers.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's a Coen Brothers film. It was okay. devastating for me to watch the Coen Brothers and him put such a horrible piece of shit together.
Oh, man.
Okay, I was wrong. Elvis sits at 37.
Okay. Acceptable. Give me some of the like
some of the 20,
20s range, you know, like some of the stuff that beat it handily, but isn't too high up.
All right. We'll start at 26. Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. Homer pick though, right?
MCU. Yeah.
Okay. All the Old Knives.
Haven't seen it.
Chris Pine Thriller.
Okay.
Yeah. Another Homer pick because it means so much to me and it hurt me to have it this low at 29. It's weird. The Al Yankovic Story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was delighted from start to finish.
Nice.
Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Ticket to Paradise. Day Shift, Bad Guys, those are all above it. Glass Onion, Hustle, Woman King, Babylon.
I don't think I can put Glass Onion above it.
Yep. Yeah, I had a really great time with Glass Onion. I love Daniel Craig in that character.
Yeah, he does so a really good job.
Fun.
Yeah.
I had a really great time. I can't wait to redo that list.
But yeah, I enjoyed it an amount that I really wasn't expecting to. I just kind of like tossed it on. I was like, yeah, let's get it out of the way. I know Austin Butler's supposed to be good in this. And then I was just like, the whole time I was like, yeah. Because you know what? Tom Hanks being kind of not great fits because it's this old senile man recounting his life. And I mean, like, talking to old senile men recounting their lives is a little like that. It's a little rough.
Yeah, but in the scenes in the past, he's not senile. And I still don't like the performance.
So to me,
I think he's horrible.
To me, all of it is him remembering what happened.
So he's remembering himself as a bad person?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. He never thought of himself as a bad person.
I don't think that he thinks that what he's doing is bad in those moments.
No villain does. That's the point of a villain.
Well, yeah. So he's recounting what happened, but he doesn't think it was wrong.
I just think it's a bad performance.
Yeah, okay.
Flat out bad performance.
Okay.
It's also a Baz Luhrmann thing. So I've watched, off the top of my head, I've seen Romeo and Juliet, I've seen Moulin Rouge, I've seen Elvis, I've seen Strictly Ballroom. I'm missing one. Australia, which I have actually
seen Australia.
Which
oh,
I like.
That's right.
Oh, look, now you're three yes. Luhrmanns in.
Australia was fine.
Yeah, see, and that's probably the one I like the most.
Yeah.
I'm not a Baz Luhrmann fan. I think I like Australia because it's different than all of his other films. His frenetic pacing, his frenetic editing, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Or at least the stuff. I shouldn't say that because I like, obviously, like the last section of Goodfellas is the same kind of thing. It works for me. There's just something about Baz Luhrmann's style, his direction. There's just something that doesn't resonate with me. I will continue to watch his films in the hope that I enjoy them. Elvis got a 3. Like, it's a passing grade. I agree. Austin Butler, I think, was fantastic. I was really hoping he wasn't going to win the Oscar, so I was very happy that he didn't. I just didn't think it was an Oscar-winning performance. No problem with the nomination. I just didn't want to see him take home the trophy. Elvis, not for me.
Fair enough. I just love a fever dream, and it was a little bit of a fever dream.
Yeah, I'm not a fever dream guy.
Yeah, I love a really well-acted fever dream into it, and that comes in a little later, too.
Oh, sweet.
So now we can put up my three top horror movies
okay.
of that day. And just to set the scene, the other stuff I watched briefly was Veronica, which was a Spanish movie about possession.
Okay.
It was meh, skippable. Evil Dead Rise, also skippable. It was fine. I gave it a 3. But, yeah. and then Hashtag Alive, which I give a 4. And that's a Korean zombie movie about a kind of gamer guy who gets cut off from the internet and everything and has to live by himself in his apartment during the outbreak of a zombie pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, it's so good. It's the main guy from Burning. Oh, love it. But the 4 films better than that, which I gave a 4. Or sorry, the 3 films better than that, which it's I like, had ooh, already my, given
you
a 4.
You can't do 4. Yeah, whoa. You used up one of your slots for Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis was worth it. Okay. But moving on to Saw.
Oh, shit.
I enjoyed the shit out of Saw, and it was so not what I was expecting. Because to me, Saw is like the massive behemoth horror franchise of like trashy garbage movies, similar to like Friday the 13th, you know, Halloween, all of these kind of like slashers. And so
I'm like, if you say Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm going to come over here. Fucking
it popped into my brain. I was about to say.
Do you see the box set right behind you there?
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So trust me, I would not defend that analogy, but it's the only horror franchise that I enjoy.
Oh yeah, I was about to throw it into the list, but it's just like, I don't know, Saw.
Yep.
It lives in that brain space though.
100%.
And so what I was like not expecting.
Now? What are they like 10, 11? Now?
Yeah. Saw 10. What I was not expecting was though it's not as good, a 7-esque detective thriller that is Saw.
Yeah,
that fucked me up. I was blown away, and it was really good. Yeah. Now it's not
really good.
Not as good as Seven.
No.
Obviously not even close, but it lives in that genre. Mm-hmm. They occupy the same space, and holy shit, it was really good.
Yeah.
I was just impressed the whole way through, and then right when I was like, maybe this is 3, 3.5 range, like maybe it's not a 4, maybe I'm being crazy right now, then the ending happened.
Yeah.
I was like okay. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, the ending elevates that movie even more, and there's lots of movies time. Like that. Lots yeah. of movies like that,
especially because I thought I knew the twist and I didn't, and there was another twist, and I was like, whoa. What is going on?
Isn't that fun when that happens?
Oh man, it was great, because yeah. I did go into it first of all thinking it was going to be like,
have you seen good. Other Saw films?
No.
Okay.
No. So I thought it was going to be good, trashy horror, because mm-hmm. like the first Halloween is good. First Friday the 13th is good. You know, all of these are good movies.
Yep.
So I thought it was going to be good, but kind of trashy horror. And then I get this cool detective thriller. And then I also was like, oh, I think I know the twist. Haha, this is going to be fun. Like, cool. And then I get like fucking double whammied with like, you were wrong, and here's another one. It was great. Got a solid 4 out of 5 from me.
All right, which one's next?
So I moved on to one that's been on the watch list for a very long time, and okay. that is The Fly.
Oh, shit, son.
I had a blast with this. It just, again, this was one where I was like, I had kind of an impression of it. Mm-hmm. I've watched a couple of scenes of it for classes and stuff. And
yep.
I thought I had an impression of what it would be. And it was just so much like better.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so far beyond. And God, Jeff Goldblum. Oh, that man. And watching, first of all, I don't know if it was actually him or not, running around doing all the gymnastics. That was cool. And that looked good. I'm a straight man, but hot damn.
Last movie, I was a straight man. I went hot damn. You know, it's funny. I remember, because we just talked about it, I remember the hot damn scene in Australia.
Yeah.
When he pours the water himself. Yeah. I remember there was like, hot damn. My bad.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I kind of forgot who I was for a second. But
I get it now.
And also, this role made him being kind of a sex symbol in Jurassic Park make more sense in my brain. Where I was like, oh, it came from somewhere. Or maybe, like, I don't know what the order of it all was. Jurassic Park was second to this, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Fly's like 86, 87. Yeah, yeah. Jurassic's 93.
So yeah, I was like, I see it. I understand.
Okay.
But yeah, I loved it. 5 out of 5.
Holy shit, a 5?
Like, easily. Easily.
Holy shit. Yeah, you just made Sam a happy boy.
Yeah. It didn't feel like it didn't go on too long. It just like it was perfect.
How much Cronenberg have you watched?
I think that was the first one.
First one? Okay. Yeah. I think I've watched about 2 or 3 of his films. And a couple of them, not a fan.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to eventually watching this.
Yeah.
I know that I will. And I don't know why I keep putting it off. Because everyone that I talk to that watches it just raves about it. So I don't know what's putting it off. But
yeah.
I think it's just because... you know what? I have no idea. It's a slight horror. And I didn't... When it came to a slight kind of horror-y, body horror kind of film... The last one I watched with Cronenberg called Existenz, I was just like, not for me.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
I think so too. Like, all I hear about is how good this is. So. Yeah.
It just asks so many good questions and then leaves you to kind of like come up with some answers yourself. And it's like just this general investigation. And it's also like a really well told story.
Sweet.
It's so good.
I love it when fives come out.
Oh man. Super well acted too, like on all fronts. Even like the like smaller minor characters they deliver.
Oh, it's Gina Davis.
Yeah.
In my mind I wanted to say it's Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio, but I'm like, I know it's not her.
That's a really long name to get wrong.
Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio?
Yeah.
She's also in Perfect Storm.
Oh hey.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah. Really smooth transition from The Fly to Brandon Cronenberg's Infinity Pool, which...
Related?
Yeah, son. I don't want to get too much into it.
Okay.
But Fever Dream, for sure.
Uh-oh.
You can see elements of the, like, kind of Cronenberg body horror that you got from The Fly.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool for me to go from like a director to a director's son. Mm-hmm. Especially someone like Cronenberg. Did Cronenberg do The Crash that didn't win an Oscar in 2001? Yeah.
I've seen that one too.
Okay, I really want to see that one.
It's fucked up.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
Yeah, very high on my watch list. But it was really interesting to see, like, I think if you didn't know who directed Infinity Pool going into it, you could give a pretty good guess at, like, David Cronenberg, maybe? Someone who's been around him a lot? It's like, yeah, there is body horror, but it's so clearly taken in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely his own. I don't want to insinuate that he's not his own creative.
Yeah.
Definitely was. And he took things to really cool places directorially, and there are definitely... some fever dreams that happen.
Okay.
But super, super fucked up movie. Really not what I was expecting. I went into it, I will fully admit, not really giving Brandon Cronenberg the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, this is somebody's kid cashing in, you know, I'm an artiste kind of thing. And especially because it was called Infinity Pool and the poster is like, two heads in red water. Is like,
yeah, the poster's it, like, I'm like, well, yeah, not for me.
It's gonna be a slasher, it's gonna be some dumb thing about an infinity pool, and it's not. It's so far from it. It's really well thought out, psychological, fucked up horror drama.
Alright.
It's honestly kind of a stretch to call it horror for me, in the same way that I think it's a stretch to call The Fly horror. Like, they're just... It's like comedy as well. You have to be really good dramatically to get a good comedy, like a well done comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that dumb comedies can't be funny, but to, you know, there's that certain level of drama that it takes to make a good one.
Yep.
Horror has the same thing, and this fits that really well. It's kind of like well acted all around. The story is endlessly deep and really fucked up.
Okay.
And I think I'm there's a kind of a keystone movie that I'm waiting for some people's judgment on before I like recommend Infinity Pool to them.
Yep.
Because I think they're very similar.
Cool.
And so I'll hold out on that so that nobody that I know is like expecting it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But once a person watches this other Keystone movie, I will recommend them Infinity Pool right away if they like it.
Okay.
Because they live in the same space as well.
All right.
So it was really exciting for me to watch. That's the kind of horror that I really, really fucking like. And I gave that a 4 out of 5 as well.
4 out of 5. Yeah. All right. I like it. All right. Some nice movies there. Unfortunately for you, that's not reciprocated on my end, as I've watched a lot of shitty films.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them right now. First one I'm going to talk about is a movie starring an actor I love by a director that I've enjoyed. This movie is called Hypnotic, starring Ben Affleck, directed by Robert Rodriguez. A detective investigates a mystery involving his missing daughter and a secret government program. I'm a Ben Affleck fan. Ben Affleck is basically my new Kevin Costner. I am won over by his charm on screen, and I find pretty much the majority of his films, I can at least enjoy them when he's in it, when he is playing his charming Ben Affleck self. That is not the case in this movie.
Ooh.
This movie is messed up. The reason I gave it a 2, it's got a 2, is that as you're watching this movie, it makes no sense. But as the movie goes along and more is revealed, there's a lot of twists and turns in this. And as each twist happens and each turn happens and as reveal happens, the movie does start to make more sense. That being said, I still don't like the way everything went. I don't like it, the way it was handled. I don't think the world building was good enough. And it's unfortunate because the idea, which I will not reveal because it is part of the twists, was a little bit exciting. The idea was exciting. The execution is piss poor.
Oh, that's such a shame.
It is. Yeah. It was really, really sad for me. And the worst part is, well, not the worst part. It's a rare time. I didn't even hear of this movie. And then I saw it on Amazon. I was like, oh, Ben Affleck. I'm like, oh, okay, this sounds good. And then I saw Robert Rodriguez. I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, I really enjoy Robert Rodriguez, like, especially Desperado. So fun. So fun. And Sin City, masterpiece. Well, not really masterpiece, but
it's good.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Yeah, this movie's not good. Not good.
I know nobody else can see this, but the pain in Manny's eyes right now describing this film, it's hard to see.
It was. And the movie's really short. It's like 94 minutes. So if somebody wants to check out a movie of what could possibly be an incredibly great film wasted, Hypnotic's the one for you. I wish I could say, like, I can't even say it. Like, it's not good. If you want to watch it, man, go ahead. I'm just flat out saying it. Don't say that Manny told me to watch this movie, because it is not what I said.
Is there like any situation in which this is the movie to watch?
Yeah, if you have to choose between this and Ghost Can't Do It. You're one of only two people that understand that joke.
Man, there is a mood for Ghost Can't Do It.
Not. Yeah, this was a pretty big letdown, so I would say pretty much avoid it.
Like, yeah.
Avoid it.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Because, like, yeah, avoid it. Avoid it. The next movie was one that I was looking forward to watching, knowing pretty much that I was going to be disappointed.
Mm.
But I was still excited. I clung on to the hope that it was going to be good. But nothing led me to believe that it was going to be. And I was right. And that movie is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Mm, I've been holding on to that same hope.
Archaeologist Indiana Jones races against time to retrieve a legendary artifact that can change the course of history. Okay, so Spoiler alert. Gave it 2 out of 5. All right, let's move on. Mm-mm. The opening to this movie is a... not even a flashback. Kind of a flashback. I don't know what you want to call it. Let me just put... they de-age Harrison Ford. There is... I can't even say they de-age Harrison Ford because there is no way that in this opening scene that Harrison Ford is playing Indiana Jones.
Oh.
There's no way the 80-year-old man was playing this Harrison Ford when this would have been probably around time-wise. Like, well, it's set during World War II, so it's Raiders Last Crusade time. So the de-aging is decent enough. There are times when he moves too quickly, like when he turns his head. Like, not even when he's just running, but when like he just turns his head, it just doesn't look right, and your eye catches it.
Yeah.
But when he's kind of, like, sitting still, you're like, that looks really good. But when he kind of moves quickly, you're just like, no, it's almost like a motion blur, right?
Yeah.
I didn't quite like, there were some aspects of it. I'm not really spoiling anything here. I'm just going to talk about some specifics. All the stuff leading up to in this opening scene of him leading up to getting on the train, I didn't like. I found it a little too over the top. And what I'm kind of pointing at, have you seen the Indiana Jones films?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's hard, it's shitty of me to compare it. Indiana Jones and the trucks in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like,
yeah.
When he goes underneath the truck. That is a expertly crafted action scene.
Yes.
Especially considering it's 1981. So everything's done practically.
Yeah.
So you're like, holy fuck, that guy is really under that truck. And it's done really well and it's awesome. There's in Last Crusade, horse versus tank scene. Okay. Another great action set piece. Where the action and the things he does are believable. In this, there's some stuff that happens that is too over the top because it's digital. And I'm just like, ugh. But when we get on the train, we kind of get to see the Indiana Jones that we love. And it gave me a glimmer of hope. Because he kind of bumbles his way through the train sequence. And it was very enjoyable. Nice. So it got my hopes up. And then I didn't know he was in the movie. But he plays the villain. And I just found out that I've been mispronouncing his name. So I'm going to mispronounce it so people who understand who it is. And then I will say I found out how he says his name. So Mads Mikkelsen is the villain in this movie. An actor I fucking love.
Yeah.
Apparently the D is not pronounced. It's Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody sent me a clip. I should send it to you. Of all these people, all these actors correctly pronouncing their name.
Oh,
that
okay.
have been mispronounced. For the dawn of time.
Nice.
Yeah. The best one is Jake Gyllenhaal's last name is not pronounced that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pronounced, because I think it's like Swedish or Danish.
Yeah.
So it's got that very, Gyllenhaal. That's how you're supposed to pronounce it. And he says it and it's fucking funny. But yeah. There's no, you don't pronounce the D in Mads Mikkelsen. It's Mads.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways,
next time I talk to him, I'll make sure I get it right.
No, say it wrong, so he'll talk to you and correct you.
True.
So that part was fine. Like, the opening kind of gave it had some unbelievable. I didn't like the digital effects, and then it gets on the train, and we get a glimmer of the indie that we've been missing, and then it jumps forward to present day. So when he's an old man, and so for the rest of the movie, I'm watching an 80-year-old Harrison Ford. Try to be an action star where he's trying his best to, like, obviously they're having stunt doubles when he's doing the running and jumping stuff, but when there's scenes where he's punching guys out, I'm like, I'm sorry. And I'll give him this. There is a shirtless scene with Harrison Ford. That's right at the beginning.
Okay.
And he is literally in his boxers, and he looks fucking great for an 80-year-old.
Wow.
But he's still 80.
Yeah.
You're not like looking at like Sylvester Stallone in like his 60s where he's still ripped. it's an 80-year-old man, but he looks good for an 80-year-old man. Yeah. Like, that's the best I'll give you. Gotcha. You're not going to be like, I wish I had that body. I don't wish I had that body. And, and I got a big dad bod going on with a big gut. I'd rather have this than what he has. But he still looks good for 80.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot – I'm sorry. Like, he's knocking out large guys. It was just too unbelievable. So seeing that old Indiana Jones – I couldn't buy it.
Yeah. It feels like such a prime opportunity to do, like, the little workarounds, like the gun instead of the whole, you know, sword fight thing. Like, that was, I think, what this movie called for. I was really hoping that's what it would be.
Yeah. But. Basically, the only reason to watch this is that I will tell you, what are your thoughts on Crystal Skull?
I liked it. I was pretty young when I saw it, so I also didn't have like I wasn't like a huge fanboy of the original ones because I also kind of had just barely started watching them.
Okay,
so I was into it.
Okay, Crystal Skull is my least favorite Spielberg film. I gave it a 1.
Whoa,
and that is because the first 3 Indiana Jones films for me are sacred. I grew up with them. I worshipped him. For a long time, I'd still argue Indiana Jones is probably he's top 10 favorite cinematic characters of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. That is an unbelievable character. And Harrison Ford is unbelievable in it. And there's another hot damn moment when I rewatched him. I was like, holy fuck, he was hot. So Crystal Skull was such a massive letdown to me. I think the first time I watched it, I probably gave it a 2. But I rewatched it recently with Rachel. We did a watch along and I was dying inside.
Oh man,
it fucking hurt to watch it. It's the only Spielberg movie I've given a 1.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think it's just because they fucked up that character so bad, and in my opinion, and I just didn't like it. This is definitely better than Crystal Skull.
Okay,
but nice. I still gave it a 2 because there's a lot of stuff that just didn't work for me. But there are some pretty decent moments. I won't spoil it. The ending really bothered me.
Okay.
And I can't go into detail why. It makes no sense on why it should bother me, considering all the other climactic endings we've had with other Indiana Jones films. You know, they open up the Ark of the Covenant and it, spoiler alert for these 3 films that are over 30 years old, melts Nazi faces. We see in Temple of Doom, somebody reaches into somebody's chest, pulls out a beating heart, and that guy doesn't die until he falls into lava. And then we watch the Holy Grail heal an almost dead man, and we see a knight from the Crusades who's still alive. So the magical, mystical things that happen in Indiana Jones films shouldn't bother me. This one did.
Okay.
And I there's no legitimate reason. I just don't think it worked for me. Now, I fully admit it is because the first 3 films carry a massive significance for me, and they mean a lot to me and my youth and growing up. I've watched those movies, all 3 of them, I've watched north of 30 times each, easily, in my lifetime. So I hold them in such high regard. They mean a lot to me, and these last 2 just do not stack up in any way, shape, or form. So it was a pretty big letdown. Thankfully, I was expecting to be let down. That does not factor into my enjoyment. I knew, like, it's not Spielberg. Like, I'm sorry. You're just, I don't know what to say. Like, you can't, James Mangold is good. Like, he did Logan.
Yeah.
He is a good filmmaker. You're not Spielberg. And it shows. The action sequences just do not have that touch. And so I was pretty disappointed. So. So to get the 2 stinkers out of the way.
Okay.
I'm going to end on a movie that I really wasn't going to talk about. I've talked about it a few times, but I'm actually going to mention it because I think it's a movie that you might enjoy with your family, especially your dad.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
The movie is called Sneakers.
Okay.
It is a 1992 comedy crime film. Not comedy in what you're saying. It should be more of like a... it's similar to Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Have you seen Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
Okay. It's similar in that tone.
Nice.
And idea. A security pro finds his past returning to haunt him when he and his unique team are asked with retrieving a particularly important item. It stars Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd, David Strathairn, and River Phoenix, and and Ben Kingsley.
Oh, wow.
The movie is a lot of fun. It is about a team of a team of people that companies hire to break into their company so they can find out where our weaknesses are.
Okay.
That's what that company does, and then they're hired by the government to steal an item that could really cause problems with the end of the Cold War.
Okay.
And then obviously problems ensue.
Okay.
The movie, this obviously in 92, so I saw it back then. This movie, when I watched Ocean's 11, I was like, "Oh my god, this is like Sneakers." It's about, in this one, you don't have to get the crew together because the crew's already together.
Yeah.
But the chemistry between those five casts is a lot of fun. Watching them interact with each other is what makes this movie enjoyable. Not like I can't even call them actions. There's not even any really action in this movie. There's just some like heisty kind of stuff. It's the chemistry between the cast that makes me rewatch this movie all the time. Like I've watched this movie, I don't know, about maybe four times in the last 2 years. Like I'll just be like, oh, I'm gonna watch Sneakers because it's gonna make me happy. It is an easy watch. It is fun. It is light, and it has fun with the premise of the movie.
Nice.
And if your dad hasn't seen this, I think this is one that your dad would enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's going straight on the watch list. Yeah. I desperately need
something. I know. whenever I'm kind of watching a movie and I'm like, what can I get Kyle to watch that his parents was like specifically his dad that he might enjoy so he can actually watch it with his family?
Yeah. It's funny. My dad kind of seems to just always be confused why not every movie is like Indiana Jones. it's like yeah, sorry, not every single film you watch is gonna be like the best director that's ever lived making some of his masterpieces.
I know you set the bar pretty high, Dad.
Yeah so I will definitely I'll put that in front of him at least. Okay. See what happens.
I know it's not streaming anywhere, so that is a problem.
Yeah.
Because I watch it because I own it.
Nice.
But add it to your watch list if it ever pops up on something. I think you and your family would really enjoy this.
Sweet.
So the last thing I want to talk about is my 2023.
Okay.
I had set a mark to try and get to. You and I discussed this earlier this week.
That we did.
I just want to announce that I did reach 500 movies watched.
Hell yeah. Let's get the applause track going.
Okay, I'll put some in.
Yeah.
If I remember. I have to try and leave myself a note. Yeah, so I really, after last year getting to, I think, 416, I think is what I did, if I remember correctly. Let me take a quick look. I figured now with my new job, I have more time. Oh, 390. I didn't even get to 400.
Oh, that's brutal. That's so close to 400, too.
I know. I think what happened is that there was some discrepancy somewhere, and I thought I got to 400. So I got to 390. It was about halfway through the year where I was on pace. I was like, I'm going to get well past 4. So I was like, let me see if I can get to 5. And I did it. And I'm happy because I was off by 1 in my estimation on where I was. And I kind of had a movie planned for 500 and it didn't work out. But my 500th film was Spider-Man Homecoming.
It's a solid 500th film.
I was very excited. Very excited. So a quick recap. I'll just go through this and then we can just get rid of it. The first film I watched in 2023 was Casablanca. New Year's Day. I watched Casablanca.
Nice.
That's my number one. My 50th film was Beasts of No Nation.
Okay.
Yep.
Very nice.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
Okay.
Haven't seen either of these.
Almost all of my milestone movies are really good.
Nice.
My 100th film is Whiplash.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking incredible film and holds a special place in the Samuel Emanuel movie podcast pantheon because I lost the episode. my 150th is Aliens.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen Aliens?
I have.
Fuck, I love that movie.
Third one's next.
Nice.
That's very Fincher. Quickly rising.
It's Fincher's first film.
There you go.
Fucking right. My 200th was Police Story, a Jackie Chan film.
Okay.
Really good. Nice. I had a good time with that. My 250th is the original Ghostbusters.
Nice.
I had a good time. My 300th was The Great Escape.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Did you rewatch that this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. No, really, really. I was solidly impressed with that film, and it made me go watch more stuff of that era, which I appreciated.
Yeah, sweet. Cool. Ooh.
Yeah.
Like from the 60s and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. That was that one, What'd You Do in the War, Daddy?
Oh.
That one was, like, surprisingly good.
Do you like Westerns?
They're fine.
All right.
I don't watch a ton of them. I think I watch... Like, Westerns sneak up on me.
Okay.
Like, I watch things, and then at the very end, I'm like, was that a Western? Mm. Is that what I just watched?
I like Westerns.
Yeah.
There's a couple of really good Westerns in the 60s. Sadly, Letterboxd doesn't tell me what my 400th is.
Interesting.
And, yeah, and I'm not going to dive into it. I'm not going to go count back. But my 500th was Homecoming. And obviously, the last film I've watched was Dante's Peak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. I wanted to throw a little brag, And yeah, that wraps up what we've been watching. So let's wrap up this epidition.
I have one Ooh. Little quick thing for
you. Oh, that's
right.
You mentioned this. I forgot to put this in the notes. Fire away.
All good. I brought another small gift.
Ooh.
So I know you guys are pretty into stats here.
Yes.
And I had a stat that I kind of wanted to know.
Fuck yeah.
Because I am loosely aware that kind of the beginnings of this podcast were you and Sam kind of wanting to see the kind of how Sam sees older films and, you know, kind of that gap in film knowledge and whatnot, and, you know, how the older films stack up for Sam with his age and everything.
I think I know where this might be going. Go ahead.
Yeah. I took, and now granted, I was a little self-absorbed.
Okay.
I took all of the movies that you guys have reviewed on the podcast.
Okay.
I took all of the scores that we gave them.
Okay.
So I only took films that all three of us have seen, you, me, and Sam. All
right.
And then I calculated the percentage crossover in our ratings. So how many times we rated something the same thing.
Interesting.
For each pair of people.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I see. So the percentage that you and I are the same.
So yeah, there's the Manny and Kyle, the Manny and Sam, and the Sam and Kyle.
Gotcha.
So I've got all three of those, and then I also took our average rating across all the movies.
Okay.
And so there are 119 out of your total.
You've watched 119 of our films so far?
I've watched 119 of your films so far.
I fucking love you so much right now. You're just feeding into my narcissism. This is unbelievable.
So I haven't heard all of the podcasts for these.
Yep.
But I did just sneak your scores off of Letterboxd. And I will say you guys have to update your Letterboxd scores a little bit. You're missing some stuff. And,
are we?
Well, yeah. Because I just told you you are.
Interesting.
Like, for example, Sam hasn't logged Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2.
Oh, right.
There's a few, especially the early days.
Am I missing some?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I had to actually go back and manually scroll through your podcast to find the rating. So you better appreciate
that. Dude, you have no idea how much I appreciate this.
What was I going to say? There is one notable leave out,
okay,
which was the original Blade Runner, because you guys didn't rate it on the podcast.
That's
and
right.
I couldn't find a rating on Letterboxd.
Yeah, because we weren't on Letterboxd back then.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I left that out, and then there's also things like Ghost Can't Do It, where Sam hasn't seen it or logged it, or
he hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
he will be.
Yeah,
I have plans.
I'm excited.
So he
I'm
has
excited.
To watch it.
Join the fold.
Which actually means I might need to steal that movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Manny.
I'm not a fan, but like Sam has to watch it.
Yeah.
And if it leaves Tubi, it's not like some other streamer is going to pick it up anytime soon.
You're crossing into the dark side.
I am.
Oh.
It's only for the podcast and because Sam's a fucker. He's a fuckhead who fucking, he's like, oh, I have a musical career.
Ooh. Oh, man. These creatives.
I know.
Okay. But yeah, so I took the average score that we have given across these 119 films. And then I also took the amount of times that each pairing gave the same score.
Yep.
And then I did that as a percentage of, like, out, like, you know, this percentage of the films you have crossover.
Yep.
So how would you like to start, and would you like to do some guessing?
Okay, you tell me the stat and I'll take a guess at
okay,
it.
So average rating. Rate us. So who gives out of the three of us, who
lowest?
Gives the lowest ratings?
Sam.
It is not Sam.
Then it's you.
It's not me.
I'm the lowest out of the 119?
The lowest, but by 0.01.
Okay.
So you give, on average, a 3.97.
Okay.
Sam, 3.98. And then I give, on average, a 4.1.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Sam and I are really close.
I'm apparently a little bit more lenient, and I'm not super surprised. At first, when I was seeing my like Letterboxd scores, I was like, oh, it's because I'm intentionally watching good movies. And now it's been a little while, and I'm starting to think that maybe I'm just a little lenient.
Well, the other thing as well is that for a long time, Sam and I were only watching mostly good movies.
Yeah.
And that's why I've started to push trying to get not so good movies into the podcast.
That's
but
fair.
I don't want too many because that's not fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is there's some kind of holes in the data. For example, Harry Potter. Sam and I both rate that much higher.
Yeah.
So it kind of skews things a little bit, especially because I've seen them all. And then there's other things that you would rate higher that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once I have the list complete, this will be a better statistic.
I look forward to it.
But yeah, so you guys are very close, though, on the average rating. Impressive.
Okay, like, I love your stats.
Yeah.
I don't know how well you can see it here. Here's a spreadsheet. Here's me and Sam's scores.
Ooh.
So, spoiler alert, I'll tell you this right now. I'll announce this. As of right now, the different, and I don't go to two decimal points, I just go to one. For the year right now, I'm at 3.8, Sam's at 3.9.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can tell you, hold on, let's see here. I don't think, let's do it like this. Yep. We are never more than 0.1 away from each other
in wow.
any year that we've had.
That's impressive.
And let's see the last one here. Oh, nope. In 2019, I was 4.0 for the year and he was 3.7.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And then our first year as well, 3.9 to 3.6. Otherwise, since 2019, so 2020, 2021, 2022, we've been within 0.1 or the same.
Wow.
Yes.
I guess great minds think alike or something.
Yeah, I find we have very similar tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I know for a lot of people that doesn't make exciting podcasting because all we're doing is agreeing with each other.
Yeah.
But I can tell you right now, it makes for enjoyable podcasting.
Yeah.
Because I have no desire to come here every week and argue with somebody.
Yeah.
That is not enjoyable for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a different beast.
I don't mind doing it every once in a while, but like to do that week in, week out, there's no way we'd be closing in on 300 episodes. I can't handle that kind of shit in my life. I got better things to do.
That is very fair.
Yeah. I don't mind every once in a while, but not all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. You go ahead. Keep going.
Cool. So, yeah, the other stat I have, I think maybe we should go by the amount, and then I'll just tell you the percentage.
Okay.
But out of, so it's out of 119 yep. movies, for each, let's rank the pairings.
Okay.
So which pairing do you think has the least crossover? Let's start there. So this is out of...
Me and you.
You are correct.
Yeah.
And by a large margin.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So you and I have had the same rating for 58 out of 119 movies, which is 48%.
48%.
Yeah. All still right. Not bad.
That's good.
Like, you know, honestly, like, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But then moving on, who do you think is next lowest?
Next lowest would be you and Sam.
Correct.
Yeah.
But barely. So Sam and I have 70 in crossover.
Yeah.
And you and Sam have 72.
Okay.
Which is 58% for me and Sam.
Yeah.
And 60% for you and Sam.
Yeah.
So very close.
Very close.
Yeah.
Which I'm so happy about. Sam's so, he's going to be so sad. You know what's even worse? He doesn't even fucking listen to these.
Man. Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine? Horrible. But I guess with a burgeoning music career.
Yeah.
There are some sacrifices to be made.
I'll probably play this for him or tell him to listen to this specifically.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun putting it together.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I love stats so much.
And I was actually talking to Keenan about this one of the days where you were gone already. And yeah. I've just been itching to like make a spreadsheet again because it's been so long. And then the next day I came back and I was like, Keenan, like it worked. Like I actually like I did it and I only had to Google one thing and it was amazing. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. You could see how much I'm excited I got over that.
Of course. And I will keep tabs on some things and occasionally update. I won't update all the time because I imagine it's going to move slowly. I actually only have like 4 or 5 episodes left before I have to start actually like watching a movie to listen to an episode. I'm nearly caught up.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense, right? Listening to the ones that you've already seen.
Yeah.
And then you can start watching the ones you haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just over halfway through your episodes now.
Sweet. So, yeah. That's so awesome and flattering and amazing at the same time.
Oh, well, it's a lot of fun. It's really, I will say it's a little trippy sometimes listening to you and talking to you at work at the same time. I have those bone conduction headphones.
Yeah,
so I've
seen them.
Yeah, I can hear very well while I'm listening to something, which is why I wear them at work. But yeah, it's a little trippy. You'll be like talking shit about a movie and then you're in front of me talking shit about a movie. It's crazy. It's like this weird inception of Manny's going on. It's been really easy, especially when I'm in the other warehouse, to just like throw you guys on for a while. I will say I do listen. I don't listen at 1x1 speed. I speed you guys up a little bit.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, they're long.
Well, yeah, and it's not even just that. It's just that, you know, I do it with everything because if you understand what's being said, you know, save some time.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. All right, let's get out of here and start. We still have another episode to do after this one.
Well, let's get out of here.
That's so true. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. If you give us a 5-star rating and a positive review, it does increase the profile of our podcast, which we greatly appreciate. You can also give us a rating on Spotify, which takes like 2 seconds. And if you're on Spotify, answer our weekly question. I would love it. And I'll read it on air. I promise. What am I missing? Oh, please follow us on Instagram at sam_manny_movie. You can email us at sammannymoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Letterboxd at manny42 and
Kyle Robertson.
Oh, yeah. I never
super easy. I know.
Super easy.
It's okay. I forgot it last time.
All right. Cool. All right. What's our next episode, Sam? The Habits. What's our next episode, Kyle?
We are watching and reviewing Dante's Peak. So please join us. It'll be a fun one.
Awesome. Adios.